Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living globally, listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 22nd day of July 2019. And I'm so thrilled to have back on the program one of my favorite guests to interview, who's also a financial supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We thank him and his church from the depths of our hearts for enabling us to keep on the air. I'm speaking about Mac Tomlinson, was an author, a conference speaker, and a pastor at Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas. And today we are going to be addressing the theme of a new book he is working on, The Brainerd Brothers, an Early Colonial American Gospel Ministry to Unreached Groups. And we're also going to be talking about the Fellowship Conference of New England in Portland, Maine, which is coming up very soon. Another event that is sponsored by and orchestrated by Mac Tomlinson, who's also on the speaking roster at that event. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Mac Tomlinson.
Thanks, Chris. It's always a blessing to be with you.
And let me give our listeners our email address right away in the event that they want to send in questions. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And first, before we go into the theme of the Brainerd Brothers, very significant figures in Christian history, tell our listeners, for those of them that are unfamiliar with you and Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, let our listeners know about this congregation.
Well, we are a Reformed Baptistic church of about 20 years now in the heart of Denton, which is 30 miles north of Dallas-Fort Worth, a university town of about 120,000 people. And so we are thankful that we serve Christ here to preach the gospel and to build up believers and to strengthen God's work in His kingdom here in North Texas.
Praise God. And if anybody wants to look up that information for Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, the website is providencedenton.org, Providence Denton, which is spelled D-E-N-T-O-N.org. And as I said, our theme today involves a book you are working on. I'm not sure how close to the finished product you are at the moment, but tell us who the Brainerd Brothers were.
Well, one of them has become very famous in American church history and history of missions, David Brainerd, the legendary missionary among the colonial New England colonies.
And amongst the Native American Indians.
Yes, right. That was his whole life's work, short life among the Native Americans. And he would have been forgotten had not Jonathan Edwards, his close friend, after David died, published the journal and diary of David Brainerd, which became widely used for generations to just inspire missionaries and Christian leaders. And so David is well known. John, is the forgotten Brainerd, because nobody virtually knows anything of him.
He was a no-brainerd. I'm only kidding. Sorry.
Well, he was forgotten because he was, he had one biography written by one of his descendants 100 years later. It was not really kept in print, except perhaps in the library. So David was the famous one, and John was the forgotten one. But they had a eternal link in the gospel in New England, or in the not really New England, even further south, which we'll get into.
Great, and we'll be getting more into the Brainerd brothers, obviously, since that is our theme. But I also want you, right off the bat, to mention something about the Fellowship Conference New England, which is going to be held once again in Portland, Maine, at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland. And tell us about those who will be speaking there. And I know that your conference is unusual, unless something has changed about it, in that you don't have a central theme. You let whatever is burdening the hearts and minds of the speakers, you let them basically choose any theme, even if they are disconnected from what the others are going to be presenting. Obviously, united in the gospel of sovereign grace, but maybe disconnected as far as a specific theme.
Yeah, we never have chosen to have a theme, and it just seems to be the way the Lord has led us these 5 or 6 years into the conference history. And so this year, local New England pastor Nathan Pickowitz from New Hampshire.
Who's our guest tomorrow, by the way. He's our guest tomorrow on Iron Sharpens
Iron. Nathan is a wonderful preacher and pastor in New Hampshire, and he speaks every year, and he'll speak twice this year. Pastor Anthony Mathenia from Radford, Virginia, who pastors Christ Church.
He's also Radford, Paul Washer's pastor.
Yes, well, that'd be a hard thing to be.
Paul Washer.
But somebody's got to do it, so Anthony is capable. He's a wonderful brother, former missionary himself, and he will be, for the first time in our conference, though he's ministered in New England before, and is a wonderful pastor and great heart, Anthony. And then one of our elders, Lee Dodd, will be preaching as well.
And he's going to be our guest on the show on the 31st of July.
Yes. Lee's a wonderful preacher, an excellent theologian, and he is he's a real blessing. So the four of us, Nathan Pickowitz, Anthony Mathenia, Lee Dodd, and myself, will be the speakers this year, August 1st through the 3rd, which I could give a plug actually for next year, because some of your listeners might want to pencil this in on the calendar. Next year, we have committed in the 2020 Fellowship Conference New England, Jeffrey Thomas from Wales and Joel Beakey from Grand Rapids, Michigan are
wow.
the primary speakers.
Wow.
So the heavyweights next year will hit New England, and it'll be a delight to have them there. So if there's any listeners that can get away this year, there is a small registration fee, but you can show up and register at the door. So come and join us if your schedule allows, August 1st through the 3rd.
Great, and the website to register is fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. Well, now let's return to the main theme, the Brainerd Brothers, an early colonial American gospel ministry to unreached groups. And, well, you've already given us a little taste, peek into who the Brainerd Brothers were, David being the much more well-known one, and John being the sadly forgotten one, largely forgotten. What was the catalyst for you to write this book? Because there have been biographies on, especially David Brenner in existence, and other books that have reflected on their lives to some extent, even if they were included in a larger work that contained the lives of multiple figures from history. But what was specifically the driving force, and what will be unique about this book on the Brainerd brothers?
Well, what drove me was, first, anyone who's read the diary and journal of David Brainerd, always in print by the Banner of Truth Trust, any Christian who hasn't read the diary and journal of David Brainerd must get it and read it. It's simply an almost an unbelievable account of one man's courage to labor in hard conditions among the colonial Indians of North America and what God did there in, among one tribe. So I always loved David Brainerd, but my wife and I, 12 years ago, we were in Scotland for a month, well, actually Britain for a month. When I was at Edinburgh for a week, I pulled down a volume off of the library where I was staying, The Life of John Brainerd by Thomas Brainerd. And I said, well, surely, maybe they were connected to David. Sure enough, John, younger brother by 2 years of David, and I took it off the shelf and I read it that week in Edinburgh, and I was just floored of the account. Here was a younger brother, same caliber of man. Even Jonathan Edwards said that about John. Same caliber of man spiritually and as a leader as his older brother David, but has been forgotten. And so I then wrote, within the next year, I wrote an article for the Banner of Truth magazine called The Forgotten Brainerd, on John's life. And that article can be found online, The Forgotten Brainerd. I always then said, the more I talked to pastors or church historians, I saw that the story of John Brainerd and the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, is missing among contemporary Christians. Nobody knows about John. Nobody knows what happened to David's Indian mission work. And so I said, this needs to be told. So I've been working on it the last year, and I don't know when it will come out, but it's anyone who loves mission work and the Brainerd history and even the historical accounts of revival in the 18th century will find the story of John Brainerd inspiring and fascinating.
Praise God. And what can you tell us about the religious upbringing of these two brothers, if any, how they providentially came to be drawn to embrace the gospel and Jesus Christ and his inerrant word, and then how they came to be missionaries and evangelists?
Well, of course, they were born and lived during the bulk of the 18th century. David was born in 1718. He died in 1747 at age 29. John was born 2 years later, 1720. He lived 61 years until his death in 1781. The Brainerd family had a long history in Connecticut. That's where they were established after their ancestors, great-grandparents, had immigrated. And David and John were the sixth and seventh children of nine children, born and bred in Connecticut, of Puritan stock. They were raised in church, and David had inspiration to become a minister. He always wanted to, but he realized in the summer of 1739, when he was preparing to go to Yale, he came to see he wasn't a Christian at all, that Christ wasn't real, that he had not been born of the Holy Spirit. And so that summer of 1739, at age 21, David was converted and saved and brought to Jesus Christ. 2 months later, he enrolled at Yale. And so he enters as a freshman in 1739, the largest ever yet class of Yale College. It wasn't Yale University yet. Yale College, the largest class ever, and David's a freshman.
And it's such a tragedy. There may be people listening who know nothing about Yale as it began. They may know nothing about the roots of Yale, which were so thoroughly biblical and rooted in the inerrant scriptures. They just know about the current day Yale, which is a liberal, leftist, predominantly apostate university / seminary. Although I can say that there are some wonderful graduates of Yale today who are ministering faithfully and preaching the true gospel in spite of the leftist education that they had to face.
Yes.
But they also, ironically, are the primary place where Jonathan Edwards' works have been archived, and there are people who want to preserve faithfully what he actually wrote and taught and the legacy that he left, even though the current state of the Yale is abysmal.
Right. Well, that's a great point, Chris. You know, many of those Ivy League schools and colleges, universities now, Harvard, the oldest university in America, Yale, Princeton, Dartmouth, Brown, many of them were started as schools to train preachers of the gospel. That was the reason they were founded. And so you're right, the evolution over the years has been into unbelief and liberalism and apostasy. But in those days, if you were going to be a minister of the gospel in the Presbyterian Church, you had to go to Yale, Harvard, or a university in Europe. You couldn't even be ordained in the Presbyterian Church in colonial New England unless you went to Yale or Harvard. And so that's why David went there. 2 months after his conversion, he finds himself at Yale and enrolled as a student. You can interrupt me any time, Chris, but David entered Yale in the years where there were spiritual revivals occurring in those colonies. George Whitfield had been through there blazing the gospel. Jonathan Edwards was preaching in Northampton.
This would have been the 18th century.
Yeah, right, 18th century. Edwards was preaching in Northampton, and true revivals were being poured out in those colonies, in those states, in various places. And those revivals, the awakening preachers like Gilbert and William Tennant and Whitfield, they were preaching in those villages and towns, and the colleges were being greatly affected by movements of revival. Well, when that happened, there was always a division that would happen. The college staff or the college tutors, if they were anti-revival, they would oppose and criticize, and they would try to keep the revival flame from getting inroads among the students. But the students were being greatly affected, and the Brainerd brothers were. They were pro-revival. And so what led ultimately to the biggest event in David Brainerd's life ever, as a junior, leader of the class, one of the tutors, a Mr. Whitsley, had led in prayer in the chapel. And later, back in the room, David Brainerd made a comment to one of his classmates about the lack of spirituality in that tutor. And I think Brainerd was quoted as saying, "Mr. Whitsley has no more grace than this chair I'm sitting on." Yeah. Well, it was perhaps an accurate statement, but perhaps a little zealous and ungracious. Someone's walking by the door, and they heard the statement. They reported it to someone. A third party heard it, a lady, and she determines to find out what student is responsible. She traces it to David Brainerd. He gets called before the trustees, and he's demanded by them to come before the whole university, student body, and all the faculty, and publicly apologize for a private comment. Well, David Brainerd felt it was unjust that the punishment didn't match the crime, so to speak. He said, "I will apologize to Mr. Whistley. I was wrong in what I said, but I don't think this is right." But they wouldn't hear of it. The trustees expelled David Brainerd within a few days. And as a junior, the leader of his class, he's out of Yale. He's gone. And it became a public, shameful thing. Edwards and others in the colonies went to bat, so to speak, for David. They appealed, they lobbied, but to no avail. And so Yale would not restore David Brainerd back as a student. So suddenly he is a man without a country. He can't be ordained now into the Presbyterian ministry because he's not going to be a Yale graduate. He doesn't know what to do. So suddenly he goes home. He's waiting, praying, wondering what he's supposed to do. Here he is, a man in his early 20s. And then a group called the Society for the Promotion of Christian Knowledge, the SPCK, based in Edinburgh, Scotland, they were a mission agency that supported missionaries and laborers in the colonies. David Brainerd was recommended to the SPCK as a missionary, that he had the caliber, he had the character, he had the theological solid mind, and they approached him and they asked him, interviewed him, and they approved him to go as their first missionary among the Native American Indians in the colonies. So he did. He was the hardest providence ever in his life led to the greatest open door of what God would do in the next 3 years. It went down in missionary history is one of the greatest works of God ever in America.
Well, what we're going to do now is we are going to our first advertising break. And if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question about David Brainerd and his brother John, or even just about theology in general, our guest is a pastor, and a pastoral question will be acceptable. He happens to be a Sovereign Grace believing Baptistic pastor, just to let you know where he is coming from theologically. And so we would welcome questions on a broader sphere of topics than specifically the Brainerds, but we primarily would love to have you ask questions about the Brainerds or about colonial period evangelism and so on. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And always remain anonymous. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We will be right back with our guest, Mac Tomlinson of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, and the life and legacy of David and John Brainerd.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world.
They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which is a highlight
for me.
Tons
of stuff going on. Yeah. Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to g3conference.com. G3conference.com. See you there.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with just about 90 minutes to go is my dear friend Mac Tomlinson, a generous supporter financially of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, in addition to being a dear friend and a biblically solid pastor whom I can recommend without hesitation. He is an author, conference speaker, and pastor at Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, and today we are addressing the Brainerd Brothers in early colonial American gospel ministry to unreached groups. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Pastor Mac Tomlinson, you mentioned something earlier about the Brainerd Brothers being in favor of revival. Now, that may seem like a bizarre statement because you would think any Bible-believing Christian is going to be in favor of revival, but you and I also know that throughout history there have been true and false revivals. They have been sometimes distinguished with the phrases revival versus revivalism, the second being a caricature or a charade of what genuine revival is. But if you could tell us exactly what you're talking about here in regard to the Brainerd Brothers being in favor of revival and what kind of opposition they faced having that view and why anyone would be opposing the Brainerd Brothers or disagreeing with them on revival.
Yeah, well, it's a great question. The 18th century was really marked by, you know, it's considered obviously the first great awakening in American history, and the primary leaders being Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield. And when we talk about revival in the first great awakening, we're talking about the real deal, the genuine article, not revivalism of planned meetings and men trying to produce the work of the Holy Spirit that's man-centered and counterfeit, but we're talking about an authentic movement of the Holy Spirit. that comes suddenly, and at times surprisingly, normally through the God-ordained means of preaching a biblical doctrinal gospel. And that's what those New England leaders did. And down, well, the colonial leaders, not just up in New England, but Edwards was in New England and Northampton, Massachusetts, others around, they were preaching a doctrinal, clear, evangelistic gospel. And so it was under that preaching the Holy Spirit began to move and began to save people suddenly. And so the Brainerds, the young Brainerd brothers, they heard that preaching. They were affected by it and ultimately converted through it. So they were fans from the very beginning of the right view, pro-revival, if you want to use the phrase, because they experienced the atmosphere of New England awakenings. And they saw that Christ was the center of it and the glory of God was the result. And they were huge supporters of the revival movements. Chris, could I go back to something earlier that's important?
Absolutely not. I'm only kidding. Go ahead.
This is really a remarkable history, and it's an amazing lesson. The principle is the hardest thing that ever happened to David Brainerd, humanly speaking, was his expulsion from Yale. Yale had been the legacy of the Brainerd family, and it was for 200 years, even after, in the descendants of the Brainerds. Many of them went to Yale. And John, as a freshman when David was expelled, he had to endure 4 years of grief and being tempted to be bitter against the tutors and the staff that expelled his older brother. But he remained faithful. He maintained a right heart. Well, after David's expulsion, the hardest thing he ever faced, one of the most amazing positives came out of it. And that is, two Yale graduates, Jonathan Dickinson, pastor of the Presbyterian Church in Elizabethtown, New Jersey, and Aaron Burr, pastor in Newark, they were Yale graduates, and now they were distinguished leaders in the colonies. They were so upset that David Brainerd was wrongly treated, too severely treated, that they took it on themselves to establish, as a result of Yale's wrong actions, they established the College of New Jersey in October of 1746, which was later renamed, guess what? Princeton College. Directly as a result of the Brainerd-Yale expulsion. And if our friends listening have never read the book, The Log College by Archibald Alexander, it's a marvelous book on this time period, but it also summarizes the story of David Brainerd. And Alexander said in there, and I quote, both of these men, Dickinson and Burr, were distinguished graduates of Yale, but just at this time, their minds probably experienced some alienation from their alma mater because of the harsh treatment of Mr. Brainerd. And so Aaron Burr later declared, if it had not been for the treatment received by Mr. Brainerd at Yale, New Jersey College, later renamed Princeton, would never have been erected.
Wow.
So here's a little more of that history. The Presbyterians founded Princeton. The Baptists founded Brown University. The Dutch Reform founded Rutgers. The Congregationalists founded Dartmouth. And at the heart of some of these movements, there was an essential motivation component, at least in the founding of Princeton and Dartmouth, that David Brainerd, his example and his mission work were a direct influence on the establishment of Princeton and Dartmouth. So that's quite an amazing providence, how God uses things to bring about good in the future.
Amen. We have a listener question from your neck of the woods, actually. Let's see here. I just had it in front of me. Let me try to find it again. We have Ryan from Providence Village, Texas. What were some of your biggest takeaways from researching John Brainerd's life, and what has it taught you with regards to the Christian life?
Could you repeat the question quickly, Chris?
Okay, I've got to bring it back up on my screen here. Sorry about that. And while I'm bringing it back up on my screen, anybody else who'd like to join us? Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal or private matter. Okay, Ryan in Providence Village, Texas asks, what were some of your biggest takeaways from researching John Brainerd's life, and what has it taught you with regards to the Christian life?
Well, it's a great question, Ryan. And some of this, actually, the last third of the program, I'll probably speak to directly. But here's how I would say it. David and John were very close as brothers. They were very close spiritually and in the gospel. And even in those Yale years, they had it in their hearts to advance the kingdom of God. They were courageous. They were single-minded. John was the same caliber of man as David when you read his life. It's just remarkable. He didn't become as famous, and he didn't see a significant revival poured out in his years the way David did. But he stayed 10 times longer than David. David was among me in his 3 years, John for over 3 decades, 34, 35 years. And what stands out about their life is, think about this, here are two men, young men, on horseback by themselves. They ride from Connecticut to Long Island, New York.
Wow.
Horseback. And they suffered loneliness, cold, riding into areas where they knew there were dangerous Indian tribes. They didn't know if they were going to be friendly or murderous. And so the courage that it took the Brainerds and others like them, John Eliot before them, Thomas Mayhew before them, in the 17th century, they took the gospel to colonial Indian groups, Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts, and then even others, the Moravians, did as well, establish missions among the Indians in New York.
They were like a pietistic group, right? The Moravians somehow...
Yeah, they were.
Breakaways from Lutheranism, I believe, perhaps?
Yeah, and they weren't liberal in those days. They were not Calvinistic, Reformed in their theological views, but they were some of the greatest missionaries of all time.
In fact, John Wesley was led to Christ, was he not, when he was on a ship that was being tossed about in a dangerous storm, a violent storm, and he saw the faith and the confidence and the peace of mind of the Moravians praying, I believe, and that was you.
Yes. That's right. Well, the Moravians established missions among the Native Americans in New York even before the 18th century, when pioneer missionary John Sargent in 1733 came to Stockbridge, which is the place later Jonathan Edwards, when he was expelled from his church in Northampton, Edwards went to Stockbridge to be the missionary pastor where John Sargent had served. So there was this long legacy of these courageous young men, John Sargent, Mayhew, John Eliot, who had pioneered the way. In Brainerd, the Brainerds were cut out of the same cloth. They had a solid theology. They had a courageous heart. They were men among men, and they took the gospel in those hard areas. It was as David Brainerd called it, a waste howling wilderness. It was very raw. David Brainerd built a log cabin by himself each year in those three Indian missions. So he'd have a place protected from the elements, so he'd have a place that was more quiet to pray. So John Brainerd, he was cut out of the same cloth, amazingly courageous, enduring. I mean, think of riding your horse in the winter in the colonies. David Brainerd rode his horse 6,000 miles in those 3 years among the Indians, because he was basically an itinerant evangelist and missionary among the Indians on Long Island, and then down to the forks of the Delaware Indians, near present-day Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And then the third mission, between Princeton and Philadelphia, in a place that was called Crosswixon, New Jersey.
Now,
so Paul's...
Go ahead, brother.
Well, I can begin to talk about...
Well, before you switch subjects, I want, being a native Long Islander, I'm utterly fascinated by this because I had never heard before David Brainerd's travels to Long Island. Do you happen to know from your research what areas of Long Island he visited and evangelized?
Well, there was a place, I don't know if it still has the same name, Kaunameek, Kaunameek.
That may exist out in eastern Suffolk because there are a number of Native American Indian names for towns out in the eastern Suffolk area, some of which I discover periodically for the first time, but I am not familiar with that name of that town.
Yeah, well, that's where he started. The SBCK, Society for the Promotion of Christian Knowledge, commissioned David Brainerd to go to Long Island first.
Now, what is the SBCK?
Society for the Promotion of Christian Knowledge out of Edinburgh, Scotland.
Wow.
Go ahead.
I know of a Native American Presbyterian church that still exists in eastern Suffolk County. I believe in one of the Hamptons, but I'm not sure if it's still biblically faithful. I'll have to do some research on that, but I'm wondering if it has something to do with Brainerd's evangelism out there.
Well, David went to Long Island. He was there 1 year, 1743 through 44, to establish a work among the Indians. And then he was established, and he went to another town the next year, another area. And then the third year, he went to another area. Well, I'll get to those in a minute. But he would go among the Indian tribes, and God gave him favor because they welcomed him. They often did not like white men, especially the white businessmen who would try to use them or cheat them or steal from them, and it happened all the time to the Native Americans tribes in those various colonies. But David went to Long Island for that year. He honestly didn't see much success. He was able to teach many of them. We would be talking about sometimes groups of 50 Indians, 75, and they would come from 20, 25, or 40 miles away. And he taught them for a year, and he began to teach them things about gardening, about crops. He even purchased the colonial sewing machines to give to some of the women, and they were able to learn to sew for themselves and to benefit the whole tribe.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's an amazing story. Now,
wow.
These things would be in the diary and journal by David Brainerd, published by Banner of Truth. Because the journal gives an account of the work. His diary is his more intimate meditations and prayers.
By the way, I want to quick plug one of our sponsors who carries all of Banner of Truth's titles. It's CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, CVBBS.com. If you want to look up the diary of David Brainerd there. What's the exact title of that book?
The Diary and Journal, or either the Journal and Diary of David Brainerd. It includes both, Diary and Journal.
Okay.
Banner of Truth.
Great. Well, we are going now to our elongated break. Our midway break is always longer than the other breaks because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle because they air Iron Trip and Zion Radio twice a day in a pre-recorded format, morning drive and in the evening. And they air, by FCC regulations, their own public service announcements and commercials in the midway break while we air our globally heard commercials here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So please use this time wisely. Number one, by writing in questions for Mac Tomlinson to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, but also to write down the information provided by our advertisers, because remember, our advertisers are what keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. I mean, of course, our sovereign merciful and gracious God is what truly keeps us on the air, but he uses the means of our sponsors to keep us on the air, and our donors are very generous and benevolent listeners who donate regularly to the program. But if you want our advertisers to keep sponsoring Iron Trip and Zion Radio so that we can keep remaining on the air, please patronize them as often as possible. And it will be easier for you to do that if you write down the information they provide so you can more successfully and frequently patronize them whenever possible. So write down the information provided by the advertisers and also send in your questions for Mac Tomlinson to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. And again, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We hope to hear from you with your questions for Mac Tomlinson on the life and legacy of David and John Brainerd. And we will have our guest answer them to the best of his ability. Send in those emails to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Mac Tomlinson after these messages from our sponsors.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics in Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NESB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Pasolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878, 1-800-669-4878, or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words,
They'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide.
This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, you can also call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, which is 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. You can only get somebody on the line at that number Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, so make sure you're calling during those hours. And don't forget, they have two phenomenal offers that they are still providing. The first, if you purchase something for any amount, no matter how small, if you ask for the book True Love by Dr. James M. Renahan, president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas, you'll receive absolutely free this book, True Love. And you have to mention it, though, in the comments section at cvbbs.com. If you want a larger book, which happens to be my favorite of all Christian biographies, my favorite of all biographies, period, that's a much larger book. It's called A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone by my friend John Thornberry. You'll have to spend a minimum of $50 for that book, and you have to add that book into your cart. That's A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone. Then you add $50 worth of merchandise, and then you add the coupon code Iron Sharpens Iron, which is all one word in capital letters, Iron Sharpens Iron. And the cost of A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone by John Thornberry will be subtracted from your total when you enter the coupon code. If you want to make life a lot easier, just call them between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, at 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231, and ask for either True Love by Dr. James M. Renahan for purchase of any amount, no matter how small, or ask for A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone, which requires a minimum purchase of $50. So make sure you always mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to any of our sponsors when you contact them. Now we just have a few announcements to make regarding upcoming events that we hope that as many of you as possible will attend. The first we already mentioned today, this is Fellowship Conference New England, which is hosted and orchestrated by my guest today, Mac Tomlinson, pastor of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas. And as always, the lineup at this event is wonderful. Pastor Anthony Matheny of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, is on the roster. Pastor Lee Dodd, who is going to be my guest on July 31st, that's Wednesday, July 31st on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, he is on the roster as well. Pastor Nate Pickowitz, who is going to be my guest tomorrow, that's Tuesday, July 23rd, from 4 to 6 p.m., he will be joining us tomorrow. Pastor Nate Pickowitz is not only a pastor at the Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, but he's also an author, and we look forward to his return to our show tomorrow. And, of course, my guest, Pastor Mac Tomlinson, will be on the roster as well. If you want to register for this conference, go to fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, and always tell them that you heard about this conference from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Then, coming up, it kind of overlaps with the conference that we just mentioned, but this one's being held in Hockley, Texas. So for our Bible Belt listeners, and especially our Texan listeners, the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas is hosting a conference featuring my very dear friend, Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. That is being held August 2nd through the 4th at, as I said, the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas. So if you would like to attend this conference, go to their website, churchatfriendship.org, churchatfriendship.org, and you'll find out all the details that you need to know about this conference. The themes will be the meaninglessness of life without God, the authority and inerrancy of Scripture, the promised land and the new covenant, what's new covenant theology, and the glorious new covenant. Those are all of the themes at the conference featuring Dr. Tony Costa of Toronto Baptist Seminary. Go to churchatfriendship.org, churchatfriendship.org. Then I'm going to be coming up in December. On Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, I am packing up my bags and heading back to my old stomping grounds, New York City, for the Foundations Conference, a conference sponsored and hosted by SermonAudio.com. What better time of year to go to Manhattan than during the Christmas season? I am so looking forward to this. That's Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th in Manhattan. The Foundations Conference is always a wonderful conference. This is for men in ministry leadership, by the way. And they have a very limited seating capacity there, so please try to register as quickly as possible. The speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, the president of One Passion Ministries, Paul Washer, who happens to be a personal friend of my guest today, Mac Tomlinson, What a phenomenal preacher he is. Reverend Jeff Thomas, who we heard before mentioned by Mac Tomlinson, who's going to be speaking at Mac's New England conference next year. But Reverend Jeff Thomas will be in New York City at the Foundations Conference, and I will be there with bated breath waiting to hear him preach. But Reverend Armin Tomasian, who I think is going to be a household name amongst Reformed Christians over the next decade. He is an extraordinary preacher and teacher with gifts and abilities far beyond his youth. He is a young pastor, but you will never guess listening to him how young he is if you were just listening to an audio and not seeing him, because he obviously looks very young. But he is just remarkable. I just can't say enough wonderful things about him. Richard Caldwell Jr. and Andrew Quigley, I have never heard them preach yet, but since Sermon Audio selected them, and they are very fussy, rightfully so, I am sure they are magnificent speakers as well. If you want to register for the Foundations Conference, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. Then in January, from the 16th through the 18th, that's Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, I am packing up my bags again and heading down south to Atlanta, Georgia, more specifically College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta, to the Georgia International Convention Center for the 2020 G3 Conference. G3 stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory, if you're wondering. And the G3 Conference always has an absolutely remarkable lineup as well. The speakers include Costi Hinn, and believe it or not, he is the nephew of the notorious heretic and charlatan Benny Hinn. And Costi Hinn has renounced and repented of the word of faith heresies of his youth and has publicly exposed, whenever he is given the opportunity, his uncle and all who are like him in the word of faith movement. He is very opposed to this deadly and damning and deceptive movement. And he is now, Costi is a Reformed Baptist pastor and a cessationist in California. You must hear this brother preach. He is just a wonderful brother in Christ. Then we have Darrell Bernard Harrison is on the roster. He is a new addition to the Grace to You team, John MacArthur's ministry. David Miller, what a remarkable old-school preacher David Miller is. I love every opportunity to hear him. Derek Thomas, definitely a name that is not unfamiliar to most of our listeners in the Iron Sharpens Iron audience. Very well known with his affiliation with Banner of Truth. My friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, a dear friend since 1995, he is preaching there as well, or speaking at the G3 conference. Jeremy Volo, very dear friend of mine, a former San Antonio Scorpion soccer player who is now a Reformed Baptist pastor in Laredo, Texas. Joel Beakey, we also heard him mentioned before, who's going to be on the roster at next year's Fellowship Conference New England. Joel Beakey will be speaking this January at the G3 Conference. He is president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. We also have Paul Washer and Stephen Lawson again at this conference. Phil Johnson, the executive director of John MacArthur's ministry, Grace to You. We have Stephen J. Nichols, the president of the Reformation Bible College in Sanford, Florida, which was founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. My friend Todd Friel is speaking of Wretched TV and Radio. My friend Dr. Tom Askell, executive director of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry within the Southern Baptist Convention. Vody Balcom, one of the most remarkable preachers alive on the planet Earth today, and more. If you want to register, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. I also strongly urge you to register for an exhibitor's booth because they are expecting over 5,000 people to attend. And with the news that John MacArthur himself, world-renowned author and teacher and preacher, John MacArthur, is added to this lineup at the G3 conference, I believe because of that, there'll be over 6,000 people rather than just over 5,000. So if you want to register for an exhibitor's booth, just like I will be manning, it would be well worth your while if you have a business, a parachurch organization, a church, an event that you want to promote to the body of Christ. Why not get an exhibitor's booth right near mine at the G3 conference while you can? Because with John MacArthur preaching there, they may run out of exhibitor's booth room very quickly. So go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, not only to register to attend, but to register for an exhibitor's booth if it applies to you. And now, just a reminder, please, if you love this program and you don't want it to disappear, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing so. We want to thank again Mac Tomlinson and the folks at Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, for providing us with a very generous gift recently. I want to thank all of you who have been sending in donations and those who have joined our advertising lineup. You have enabled us to remain on the air, and I thank you that you have lifted a great burden off of my shoulders and enabled us to continue through July and August with your generosity. So if you would like to join others who have helped Iron Sharpens Iron to remain on the air, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card, and you can also mail in a check via snail mail the old-fashioned way to the address that appears on the screen when you click support at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never, ever, ever siphon money away from your regular giving to the local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, providing for church and home. Providing for my show is obviously not a command of God, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money for benevolent purpose, for recreational purposes, or just to sit around and collect interest, you have that extra money. If you love us and you don't want us to disappear, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. If you need a church home and you've been looking, you've been unsuccessful finding a church home where you live that is biblically faithful, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line, whether it's for yourself or for a loved one in another part of the world, or whether it's somewhere where you're going to be vacationing. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I can help you find a church. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. And that's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest, Mac Tomlinson. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We have a question from Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, Mac. And she asks, what would make David and his brother John Brainerd stand out amongst great Christian heroes of the past that may make them unique in the vast list of men of God that God has granted to the church that we can all be blessed by and edified by?
Well, that's a great question. And of course, it's hard to span the history of great missionaries and compare them all. You really shouldn't compare them, I guess. God raises them up for their own generation. But I guess what stands out about the Brainerds was that they were solitary men. They didn't go with a team. It was a day that missionaries didn't go as teams. They would often go alone. And, of course, missions was a lot more unorganized then. That was before the day of the modern missions movement, when mission agencies sprang up. The SBCK in Edinburgh, Society for the Promotion of Christian Knowledge in Edinburgh, was one of the very earliest mission agencies that supported evangelism and gospel advance in places. So David Brainerd went by himself on horseback, commissioned by the SBCK. And so what stands alone is just the courage that it would take for a man or a couple in those centuries when things were so vast and unsettled and dangerous. He had unusual commitment to take the gospel. David Brainerd had a remarkable prayer life, a remarkable burden. He would pray for hours in tears, and face the most unbelievable hardships. I mean, he would have to spend the night in the forest on his way somewhere, and all he had was his was his coat, perhaps a bear skin, and sleep on the ground. Just he and his horse were there, and wolves around howling. So the courage, the loneliness, and it's all more remarkable because David Brainerd suffered from his youth from tuberculosis.
Wow.
And chronic depression. In those days, it was called melancholy, but it was chronic depression. And so you read his diary and journal, and by the way, it is titled The Diary and Journal of David Brainerd, prefaced by Jonathan Edwards, over 300 pages, a nice hardback by Banner of Truth Trust. You read his, I would just urge every reader, every listener, if you have not read this book, go to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, their website, and or ask Iron Sharpens Iron where to get it. Purchase it and read it this summer or this fall. You simply cannot imagine what's in store for you when you read the life of this courageous, passionate young New England Puritan who had such a passion to take the gospel to unreached groups. And now, and especially for him, it became the Indians, the colonial Indians, that in his weakened state of vomiting up blood, high fevers, bodily weakness, it made him be prostrate in bed sometime for days. Every day among the Indians, when he could, he was teaching and preaching every day. He was going house to house to the Indians, they didn't have homes at first. It was teepees or the primitive type of Indian huts. House to house he would go with an interpreter who could speak the local dialect and understood English, and he would teach them, catechize them, and then he would hold services, and he would pray in the evenings, crying out to God to move. So just the solitary, heroic example that David showed for those brief years, and then his brother showed for over three decades, is inspiring. It's just beyond imagination until you read the book, and then you see what kind of men they were.
Now, how young was David Brainerd when he died?
29.
Wow, just like Robert Murray McShane.
Yeah.
Same exact age. And the brother, John Brainerd, how young was he?
He lived until he was 61.
Okay, a lot longer than his brother. And I'm assuming it was the tuberculosis that took David's life?
It was, yes. If I can kind of summarize the three-year mission work of David and then John inherited.
Yes.
David, I mentioned the first one in Long Island. He was there 1 year, 1743 to 44, and not much happened there. Not evidence of hardly any conversions. He was discouraged. He felt like he was a failure. But he did accomplish good things in those Indians hearing the gospel, and converts resulted later. But that year, 1743, he heard of Indians who were living at a place known as the Forks of the Delaware, Delaware Indians, near present-day Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. So, having established a mission in Long Island, he got permission from the SPCK in Edinburgh to go establish a mission at the Forks of the Delaware in Pennsylvania. Now, if you think of riding your horse from Long Island, New York, to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, that's a drive in a car. It takes a little while. But to ride your horse it was a long ways, and yet he did it. So he established a mission among the Indians at the Forks of the Delaware in Pennsylvania. Again, not much happened, but he was teaching and preaching daily. He taught them social skills, life skills, and when he needed to, if he had the resources, which he never had enough, he provided for families. David Brainerd's diet was normally boiled corn or corn cakes, stale or molded bread, and water. He had meat when he could kill it or when the Indians would share with him, and at times he had to ride 15 to 20 miles on his horse round trip to get bread. So he was there at the Forks of the Delaware, 1744 to 45, establishing a work that would last for a while after he passed. But again, he didn't see God doing anything extraordinary there, not many conversions at all. He was discouraged. Well, in 1744, he heard of some Indians at a place called Cross Weekson, CrossWeeksung, one word, Cross Weekson, New Jersey. It's a location between present-day Philadelphia and Princeton. And so he had permission to go there and establish a third Indian mission. He was there 1 year, his final year, 1745 to 1746. His last year of his final 2 years of life. But something different and amazing and magnificent happened at Cross Weekson that did not happen in the first two Indian missions. From the first weeks he was there, as he began to teach and preach the gospel, the diary records and others recorded that the power of God seemed to descend upon the assembly of Indians, in David's words, with astonishing energy, and he stood and watched at the amazing influence that seized the people. Now, these were pagan Indians who knew nothing. Worship of ancestor spirits, worship of animals, demon ceremonies into the night. These Indians were absolute pagans. And the gospel came suddenly like the day of Pentecost. Some historians have inferred that this surprising movement of the Holy Spirit among these Indians was one of the greatest displays of divine power in church history.
Wow.
Well, even if that's an exaggeration, there's no question that it came in such power that Brainerd, who happened to be very discouraged at the time, he didn't foresee it coming, but suddenly the Indian people were experiencing deep conviction with tears, and Christ began to save many of them in the tribe.
Wow.
Thomas Brainerd, 100 years later after John, who wrote John's first biography, wrote this about the movement in August of 1745 among the New Jersey Indians. Thomas Brainerd said, "David Brainerd found all these Indians wild, roaming, reckless savages. They have now, many of them, been transformed by God's truth and the Spirit into humble and earnest Christian men and women. In the brief period of their Christian life, they had the most intelligent, patient, and faithful instruction. Their progress in Christian knowledge and grace has been wonderful, so much so that their holy and consistent lives, in the opinion of some, puts to shame their white brethren in other churches around."
Wow.
So this was a significant work of God among the New Jersey Indians. And it really is what made Brainerd's work among the Indians famous. If that hadn't happened, his work would have been forgotten. And even with it happening, it would have been forgotten had not Edwards published the diary and journal.
Wow. We have a question from John in Bangor, Maine. By the way, John, I hope that you attend the Fellowship Conference New England this August. 1st through the 3rd at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine. By the way, Mac, do you know how far Portland is from Bangor?
It's at least 2 hours. Bangor's north, 2 hours probably.
Okay, well, it's still worth the trip.
Yeah. Right on the same interstate, though. Easy to get to.
Well, John asks, did David Brainer become familiar with the native Indian languages in order to evangelize them, or were the Native Americans who had this revival occur in their midst able to understand English?
I think the answer to both is probably no. Number one...
Really? Both of them?
well, I'm not sure, but here's the way it played out in the 3 years David was among the Indians. He always used a Native American who had learned English enough to understand it. And the first Indian group in Long Island had a different Indian dialect than the group in Pennsylvania or the group in New Jersey. So at each station, each mission station, David was dealing with a different Indian language. In each year, he probably learned some basic conversation words with the Indians he was with, but he never learned to preach in it. And the Indian translators who knew enough English, they were his preachers who interpreted his sermons when he preached.
Well, thank you, John. And by the way, I forgot to mention earlier that Ryan in Providence Village, Texas, since you are a first-time questioner, you have won a free New American Standard Bible. So make sure that we have your full mailing address in Providence Village, Texas, so that cvbbs.com can mail that out to you as soon as possible. Thank you very much, Ryan, for being a first-time questioner on Iron Trip and Zion Radio. We're going to our final break right now. This is a lot quicker than the last one. So please, if you have a question, send it in very soon before we run out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away, God willing. We will be right back with Pastor Mac Tomlinson and more of our discussion on the Brainerd Brothers.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more.
and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Tired of box store Christianity? Of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts, We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, solid-ground-books.com, is also a mutual friend of my guest today, Mac Tomlinson. Mac, before we return to the final moments of our interview, could you just say a few words about Solid Ground Christian Books, because I know that you have a very high regard for this ministry?
Yes, Michael Gaidosh has
Are you there, brother?
Sincere, fervent, godly brother. And he has done a faithful work in his book ministry, his business, Solid Ground, for years. I highly recommend his books that he not only sells, but he also reprints. And so I regard them in a very high way and can recommend them sincerely to anyone who will contact them for help with Christian resources.
And that's solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. Before we take many more listener questions, please, if you could, summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners in regard to the Brainerd brothers.
Well, just their example of single-mindedness. They weren't out to gain a name, a reputation, or be anybody, but God used them to reach Indians and the colonies. The Native Americans of the Northeast in the 18th century and afterward owe more to the Brainerds and other men like them who came and took the gospel there and lived for those Indians, loved them, served them, and transform those communities. A great debt is owed to the Brainerd legacy. And their example of courage and vision and risk-taking for the gospel is more needed ever today. The way the culture is going, the way there's windows are closing, in China and other countries to advance the gospel. Now is the time to strike while the iron's hot and to serve Christ and to pray for missionaries we know and know of and love. They need our prayers more than ever. If they're serious enough to go, we need to be serious enough to support them and pray fervently for them consistently.
We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, were the Brainerd brothers ever threatened with physical violence by the very Native American Indians that they were evangelizing?
Yeah, at different times they faced that. Drunken Indians, when they would first come into an area, they would be threatened. They could be in danger. Other Indians, God would, even unregenerate ones, would intervene to spare their lives. Yeah, they were in dangers consistently. And if anyone would read William Marsden's large biography on Jonathan Edwards, I think I may have his first name wrong, Dr. Marsden, who wrote a scholarly biography on Edwards, he brings it out wonderfully that Northampton, where Jonathan Edwards lived, they were always in danger any day of Indian attacks. And so it was an atmosphere where your life could end any moment. And David and John Brainerd lived that every day they were among the Indians.
We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. He says, don't you think it adds to the authenticity of the Native Americans' conversion to Christianity that they were embracing a faith that they conceived was the religion of their enemies because of the harsh treatment that the white man had unfortunately been guilty of in regard to the Native Americans?
That's absolutely true. The Indian tribes had a great prejudice against white people because of mistreatment. They would steal their lands over and over. They would mistreat them. And they had a strong prejudice and even a hatred. And it speaks to the life and the character, the humility of John Brainerd and David Brainerd that they could win their trust in those years. And the Indians loved those men as their own pastors deeply. It was a revolutionary thing to see happen because of the gospel.
Amen. We have Christopher in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who says, isn't it a tragedy that many people think that you are more loving if you keep your religion to yourself rather than try to evangelize those outside of your faith in hopes that they abandon their religion and embrace yours? It is amazing to me how horrible that even professing Christians think this way, not only about the Jews, but about many other people of other religions. I think this is a great lesson to be learned from the Brainerd brothers, that they sought with the risk of their own life to bring the gospel to the Native Americans, who had obviously pagan and false religions.
Yes. Do I have 30 seconds for another comment?
Yes, you do.
You know, there are students of social cultures who really criticize Christianity for taking the gospel to groups that have never heard it to try to, quote, change them. But here is what Thomas Brainerd wrote 150 years after David Brainerd's work. Under this power of God at Cross Weekson, savages became civilized, murderers abandoned killing, drunkards are changed, adulterers became morally upright, marriages were solemnized, families organized, family altars established, homes were built, farms cleared and cultivated, schools formed, the Sabbath was honored, and the public worship of God attended. That's what David and John Brainerd produced among Indian savages in the colonies.
Amen. Well, how can our listeners, when this book is complete, purchase this new book that you are in the process of writing?
I have no idea.
Well, I'm assuming Solid Ground Christian Books is going to carry it.
Well, probably, yeah. There's two or three publishers interested in it, but, you know.
Even if Solid Ground doesn't publish it, I'm sure they will carry it, knowing of the friendship.
Yeah, they'll carry it. So I guess in the months ahead, Chris Arnson could announce it on Iron Sharpens Iron. Who knows?
Amen. And you could email me at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, to find out where you could get a copy of the Brainerd Brothers and Early Colonial American Gospel Ministry to Unreached Groups. Thank you so much, Pastor Mac Tomlinson, for being my guest again. I look forward to your return to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please, listeners, don't forget tomorrow, Nathan Pickowitz is going to be our guest to discuss the upcoming Fellowship Conference New England again. He is on the roster of this conference along with Mac Tomlinson. That's tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Tuesday, the 23rd of July. And I just want to thank everybody who took the time to write in questions today. And I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.